Kamala Harris is back, ladies and gentlemen. Kamala Harris is soft launching her 2028 bid right now. And this is not just speculation. This is actually a leak that came out of NBC News from her team. So we're going to be talking about that leak and what the odds are of her actually winning the Democrat primary, because she's historically just horrible at winning primaries, as well as her chances against J.D. Vance, who is the presumptive Republican nominee at this point. So the big news is that Kamala Harris said that she would not be running for governor in California in 2026. She sent out a statement about it, and even this is without the leak, it's pretty telling. So this is what it says, and I just want to read the last part of it because it's actually really long. The last part, she says, "In recent months, I have given serious thought to asking the people of California for the privilege to serve as governor. I love the state, its people, and its promise. It's my home, but after deep reflection, I've decided I'll not run for governor." And at the end, she says right here, "For now, my leadership and public service will not be in elected office. I look forward to getting back out and listening to the American people, helping elect Democrats across the nation who will fight fearlessly, and sharing more details in the months ahead about my own plans." Okay, so the key statement in there is for now. This is what she said. She says, "For now, I'm not going to be in elected politics." And you got to remember the governor race. This is a statement for the governor race. The governor race is part of the midterms in 2026. And usually you don't start presidential campaigns until after the midterms. And that will certainly be the case this time. So what she is saying is from now until the midterms in 2026, I'm not running for any office. That's what she's saying. Here is where the leak comes in from her team. And this is according to NBC. And this is where we get past the midterms, essentially. She says, or this is according to NBC. They said, "This does keep the door open for 2028, one of the people close to her said. The person said Harris came to the decision after months of conversations. It was a really tough decision. She really grappled with it. She was very conflicted," the person added. "She wants to have the biggest impact that she could possibly have. A person familiar with Harris's thinking said she met with a small team of advisors roughly a month ago in LA to make the decision. She still wants to be part of the national conversation and talk about Donald Trump, and being in debates and forums in California is not going to allow her to do that." So essentially, she has done a lot of conversation about Trump at this point, by the way, because she wants to stay in the national conversation for a presidential run in 2028, like this person said. We don't know who they are. Probably was someone on her campaign. Here is a video of her most recent appearance. This is on April 30th, trying to combat Trump, but it's just very non-coherent. It doesn't really make any sense. And this is, again, and we all remember this, but it's going to be this way in 2028. This is going to be Kamala Harris again when she runs. Take a look.
"Instead of an administration working to advance America's highest ideals, we are witnessing the wholesale abandonment of those ideals. And what we are also seeing in these last 14 weeks is Americans using their voice and showing their courage."
Yeah, and she talks like this a lot. She's awful at speaking. She cannot speak. So the political dilemma here for her is very clear. She could have run for governor and probably win, honestly, because if you look at the polling, she had a good chance at winning, which is crazy to me, and I think it's crazy probably to a lot of you as well. But it's true if you look at the polling, because there weren't a lot of people who were willing to actually fight her in a Democrat primary. Or, so she's got that option, or she could do 2 years of whining about Trump like she did in that video, and then she could run for president. And it seems clear that she has chosen to run for president. And honestly, if you look at the data right now, why wouldn't she? Really, because the most recent Democrat polling, this comes from Echelon Insights, shows that Kamala Harris leads at 26%. And in second place is Pete Buttigieg with 11%. And Gavin Newsom close behind at 10%. And then Cory Booker at 7%. AOC at 6%. Overton Insights actually has her at 38%, which is very, very, very high. If you're looking at that, why would you not run, honestly? So Kamala Harris has a good lead. Also, here's the deal with politicians. They are 90% ego and 10% data. Every politician in the world, it does not matter which one, all of them think that they are destined to rule the world. All of them grow up thinking that they are supposed to be the president of the United States. And so the ego is already there for Kamala Harris. But then she sees those numbers and she sees that she could actually win the primary. So why wouldn't she do it? I think she will. Of course, something everyone outside of Kamala Harris's inner circle knows is that she sucks at primaries. She's gone through two presidential campaigns at this point. She wasn't even able to do one this last time, so they bypassed it in 2024, obviously. And that was the only way she was able to win the nomination. But with the ego of a politician that Kamala Harris has, why wouldn't you try? When looking at the matchup then against J.D. Vance, again, who is the presumptive Republican nominee, whether we like it or not, Overton Insights shows this. Of 1,200 registered voters, they found that Kamala Harris actually is in the lead with 45% and J.D. Vance with 42% and 12% undecided in a head-to-head scenario. And that might look bad for J.D. Vance, or you might look at that poll and say that's BS, but I actually don't really think it's bad for J.D. Vance. And this is why. You've got to remember that this poll, first off, has a 3% margin of error. That's what it says. So it actually could be tied. It could be 45 to 45%. However, outside of that, the other thing you have to look at are the undecideds. Do we really think, and there's 12% undecided according to this poll, do we really think that Kamala Harris, during her campaign, is going to convince more people to go for her? I don't think so, personally. I think the longer that she campaigns, and this is one of the big fallacies, you could say, of what they're saying on the Democrat side right now. They're saying Kamala Harris had the shortest campaign in history. If she had longer, she would have beat Donald Trump. I don't think that's true. I think it's the opposite. I think she was aided by the fact that she had a short campaign. I think the longer that she campaigns, the worse she does with the undecideds. J.D. Vance, on the other hand, is a very, again, whether you like him or not, a very eloquent speaker, a very persuasive speaker, and I think he will pull in a ton of undecideds when he campaigns, during the debates that they may have. That 45% that Kamala Harris may or may not have in that poll might be the ceiling for her support. In fact, I think it is. So if she's going to announce her candidacy sometime in 2027, what will she do from now until then? Well, she just announced that she's a book coming out, of course, because that's all that politicians do. And it includes all the things that she learned in her botched campaign. Take a look at her announcing it.
Just over a year ago, I launched my campaign for President of the United States. 107 days traveling the country, fighting for our future. The shortest presidential campaign in modern history. It was intense, high stakes, and deeply personal for me and for so many of you. Since leaving office, I've spent a lot of time reflecting on those days, talking with my team, my family, my friends, and pulling my thoughts together. In essence, writing a journal that is this book, 107 Days.
107 days? Which is how she talks, literally. So Kamala Harris is going to be on Stephen Colbert tonight, talking about her book, since Stephen Colbert is not a comedian, but a far-left propagandist. And Kamala Harris, essentially, what she wants to do from now until 2027 is she wants to talk about Donald Trump a lot. She wants to make as much money as possible on her book before not her first, not her second, but her third failed presidential bid. Let me know in the comments down below if you think she'll win the primary, and if she does win the primary, how well you think she'll do in the general election. Lost keys before a board meeting, staff walkout, mid-event, or discreet legal trouble. When it all hits the fan, Mr. Ledger doesn't panic. He gets it handled. They specialize in calm under pressure. You'll barely know there was a fire, just that it's out. Gray Ledger, guys. Fixers, not flinchers. A partner of the show. Go visit grayledger.carrd.co or head to the link in the description below. The economy has seen some ups and downs over the last year, but Trump continues to exceed expectation and it continues to silence Democrats. GDP, guys, this is a big announcement, went up 3% in the second quarter of this year. This is according to CNN, who, of course, had to begrudgingly admit that it's fantastic news for Americans. They said gross domestic product, which captures all the goods and services produced in the economy, registered an annualized rate of 3% in the April through June period, the Commerce Department said Wednesday. That is up sharply from the negative 0.5% rate in the first quarter, which was the first quarterly GDP decline since 2022. Economists polled by data firm FactSet estimated second quarter GDP to come in at 2%. So again, 2% is much less than 3%. That is a 50% higher than they were thinking it would be. That is a massive win for the Trump administration. Just to understand how big of a deal this is, a recession, we all know, is two consecutive quarters of negative GDP. We have that in the first quarter. So we could have been in a recession this whole time. This announcement basically says we're not in a recession. Now we know that. And we have to remember the negative GDP growth was from the Biden administration. So in January, economists predicted that we had a 60% chance of a recession. Goldman Sachs just updated their prediction to only 30%. It has halved since Trump took office. Because again, we went from losing 0.5% of GDP over the year, this isn't just in that quarter, but over the year, that was the projection, to gaining 3% as soon as Trump took office. To put it into perspective how big that is, if we exclude the recession in 2008, because obviously that was something different, the average GDP growth since 2000 has been 2.4%. So we are smashing it right now in terms of GDP. 3% is fantastic numbers for America. In addition to GDP, because a lot of people are like, well, GDP doesn't really affect me. It does, but it is harder to measure than job creation, for example. The job market is also doing surprisingly well. The leftist outlets, of course, like CNN, are also trying to make it very doomsday. This is according to CNN. They said the July jobs report, due for release at 8:30, is expected to show a net gain of 115,000 jobs, which would mark a considerable downshift from June's 147,000 jobs. So again, they're comparing Trump to Trump. Trump can't always measure up to Trump, I guess. In any case, we'll talk about the history of job growth in a second. The unemployment rate is supposed to tick up just 0.1%. Through June, the U.S. has added between 102 and 158,000 jobs per month. Those are solid gains and widely thought to be in line with the break-even point where the jobs added keep up with the labor force growth and hold the unemployment rate steady. However, outside of the pandemic recession in 2020, the current 130,000 jobs per month pace is the weakest since 2010 when the U.S. economy was licking its wounds from the Great Recession. So CNN said a lot of good things in there and then tried to change them to look bad. So breaking that down, when interest rates are low, which they're not right now, but when they are low, the debt is cheap for businesses to take on. And so you can expect employment to be booming. And that was true during Trump in his first term because interest rates were very low. Around 200,000 new jobs a month is considered to be good in that. But right now, the rates are high. And so we have to measure it differently. We can't look at job growth because, again, Trump has no control ultimately over what the Fed chooses for the interest rates. And so you kind of have to compare it to what the interest rates were like in the past versus the job market. Right now, the rates are high, which makes it hard for businesses to take on debt, which makes it hard for them to hire new people. So even with all of that, even with all those things working against the Trump administration, with high interest rates, the job market is doing quite well. 115,000 jobs is quite well. And this brings up one of the big ironies, I actually think, of the Trump administration. I don't know if they're doing very good messaging on this right now. We are hearing right now from Trump and from, you know, all the people in his cabinet that they want the rates to go down. And I think that makes sense, obviously, because it makes mortgages cheaper. That's a big win for the Trump administration. People are going to vote for them. Makes sense. However, the reality is on the messaging, the rates being high are actually a sign that Trump is doing good on jobs. And let me explain, because if jobs were doing bad right now, say he only created 70, 80,000 jobs, they would drop rates. And when I say that, I mean the Fed would drop rates in order to avoid a recession. And instead, they're not doing that. They're keeping rates high to curb inflation, which is about 30% higher than the target. It's at about 2.7% right now. They target for 2%. So really, the Trump administration should celebrate the fact that we don't have to reduce rates. And then they need to curb inflation, obviously, by lowering debt. That's a separate thing. But they need to be seeing this as a win, seeing our job market is so good that the Fed won't even reduce rates. Because again, if the job market was doing bad, they would cut the rates in order to avoid a recession. That's not even a concern for the Fed right now. A recession is not really a concern right now. And that is all thanks, obviously, to the Trump administration. And you can see the moment that shifts, which is, of course, January 20th, when Trump took office. So again, beyond that, all Trump has to do now is try to curb inflation by lowering our debt. If they do that, then the Fed can lower the rates. I am excited to announce that the Josh Carr Show is on We The Free. We The Free is a conservative streaming platform that allows shows like mine to say whatever I want without big tech trying to come down and censor me, which happens a ton. They've got fantastic content over there from political shows like mine to a lot of Second Amendment content for seasoned veterans or also people just kind of getting into it like myself. Go ahead to the link in the description below. You'll support conservative media as we take back American culture from the legacy media. Thank you so much for watching this show. Everybody, please like the video so other great Patriots will see it. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or you can watch another show right here.